Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The window is sort of closing. This is an odd one. It's closing not because of his age, but because of his contract status. There's an awful lot of talk within the sport that if they don't win this year, McDavid might look elsewhere. He still has a year left on his contract after this season. But if you're the Oilers and you know you can't re-sign him, you can't let him go to free agency and not get anything for the greatest player in the game.
Very interesting from Steve Levy, of all people. That was on the Jim Rome Show, and Steve Levy, of course, ESPN, NHL. By the way, Steve, I think he is, but I know for sure like his son is a Bills fan. So I saw them down on the sidelines before the Bills 49ers Sunday night game in the snow. Said hi to him. We've seen each other over the years and met, but I know his son was decked out in Bills gear, so that was cool. But Steve Levy on Connor McDavid. McDavid has 1 year left on his deal. They can renegotiate starting July 1. I mean, we've seen some pretty blockbuster trades, including from that organization with a player who was considered the best in the world back in his prime, Wayne Gretzky. Hey, I'm just saying, it could happen.
By the way, Steve Levy, SUNY Oswego grad.
Yes, Oswego, yep.
That might be maybe the connection to the Bills.
100%. And I think probably grew up maybe in New York State, but I don't know. You have to look that up exactly where, but would have to find out. Anyway, let's get out to the Wester hotline right now because Jonathan Acosta is standing by. He is on WGRZ TV Channel 2. Our buddy John Scott, the sports director over there, and Jonathan Acosta works alongside him and many other talented people, and he joins me right now. Good morning to you, buddy. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Sal. How's it going?
I'm good. You spent time in Florida. You went to the University of Florida. You're a Gator. What was hockey like for you down there, your experience in Florida with hockey?
So it's funny because I was born first in Rhode Island and obviously in the Northeast, like hockey is big, but I actually never went to a hockey game until I was down in Tampa, went to my first hockey game over at Amalie Arena. And it was cool just going out there to the arena, and it's out by the water. It's like a very nice setting. And this was, I'd say, when the Lightning were still building towards that Stanley Cup run. So Steven Stamkos was really in his heyday and stuff with the Lightning. And it was like a very enjoyable experience, again, because of the players they had with Stamkos and Ben Bishop and Kucherov. And then after that, it really – I'd always sort of liked hockey from afar, but being able to really take in the sport for the first time sort of made me a bigger fan after that. So it was cool to kind of follow that run because then I think they went to that first Stanley Cup when they lost to the Blackhawks. It was either my senior year of high school or first year of college, and then just sort of following their journey and their progression to ultimately winning those Stanley Cups once I went away from Florida was pretty cool.
You know, I'll be honest, for me, I lived in Florida for 16 years. It was terrible for me. I hated watching a Florida team win the cup. Growing up in Buffalo, knowing the Sabres had never won a Stanley Cup. Hey, hockey's our thing, right? Up here, Northeast,
exactly,
hockey.
Yeah.
Like, you get hockey down there, what are you doing? You don't even, I am not kidding you when I say this, John. Like, when I went to a couple of Lightning games early on, when they, like, were kind of in their infancy, they were literally having pamphlets handed out about what icing was. Like, and I'm like, how do these people deserve a cup? It was unbelievable.
It's interesting because you have sort of, it's like two segments of the population. You have the people that from like, a lot of them even transplants that like know nothing about hockey, don't care about hockey. They care about their teams from back home. Maybe they're like a basketball or a baseball fan. But you do have like this nest of people who are really into hockey. Maybe it was something where one of my best friends from high school, his family was from Minnesota. And so he was actually a big hockey fan and a big Lightning fan. And so I actually went with him to the Lightning games and we would watch the games together. I had a teacher who was like a big Lightning fan. So you had like these sort of pockets where every once in a while you would find someone who was like a diehard fan, invested fan. And I think actually specifically in Tampa, the Lightning do a lot better than you would think for a Sun Belt team. I mean, especially during this successful run that they've had. I mean, they sell out pretty consistently.
And by the way, it's a great game experience. It's a great game experience. I've been to a game each this year and 2 years ago went down there, and they do a great job outside the arena. It's a really good fan experience when you go to a Tampa Bay Lightning game. Did you grow up a Bruins fan?
So
it's okay to say it here on WGR. It's okay. We'll allow it. We know people come from somewhere else sometimes.
So kind of, but honestly, growing up, like, I was a lot more into football, baseball, basketball. I'd say football and baseball were my two favorite sports. So I, like, for example, I grew up a huge Red Sox fan. Like, I was born in Pawtucket, so we had the AAA team for the Red Sox.
Yeah.
Like, literally around the block from my house. So I remember, like, I'm pretty sure, like, when I was young, like, Kevin Youkilis and Bronson Arroyo came through the Paw Sox. So, like, that was, like, my big team, the Red Sox. Obviously, 04 happened against the Yankees, and then just the players on that team, Manny Ramirez, David Ortiz, Pedro Martinez. Like, it's hard to not sort of fall in love with a team like that.
No doubt. So one of the reasons I reached out to you, and I said, you know what, I haven't talked to John on the radio in a while, and I know you've been covering Bills minicamp and OTAs with John Scott, and I'll get to that, but I saw you were tweeting about the Rafael Devers trade, and I know that you were, or I should say, are a Red Sox fan and used to live up there. So I want to get your thoughts on that. Last night, he has two hits right away for the San Francisco Giants. I mean, how does that hit you as a Red Sox fan, especially with a team that has just swept the Yankees? They seem like they're finally on the trajectory they should, and then, bam, they get rid of their superstar hitter.
Well, it was sort of a gut punch, and it came out of nowhere. And unfortunately for the Red Sox, post-2018 World Series, in my opinion, they're one of the faces of MLB, right? You think of the biggest franchises in baseball. You think of the Dodgers, the Yankees, the Cubs, the Cardinals, and I think the Red Sox are clear in that conversation also. But since that last title in 2018, it doesn't seem like they've sort of conducted themselves in that manner. Obviously, it starts with the Mookie Betts trade, where here you have one of the best players in baseball. You're the Red Sox. You should be able to keep a guy like that long-term in Boston. But instead, they ship him out to L.A. He ends up winning a World Series with the Dodgers. And you get sort of the kind of feeling that this could lead to a similar thing. Here's Rafael Devers, this incredibly talented young hitter who was part of that 2018 World Series team. And it seems like the Red Sox, here they are, shipping them out to another team out west who's serious about fighting for a championship, where they're here. I don't know if they're trying to not play money ball, because they went out and made some serious additions in the offseason in Garrett Crochet and Alex Bregman. But it's the prioritizing of stars like Mookie Betts and Rafael Devers. I feel like the Red Sox haven't been doing. And there's an interesting dynamic to it with Fenway Sports Group, where I don't know if it's because they don't just have the Red Sox anymore. They have Liverpool. And it's frustrating to see this happen with the Red Sox team, while in the same summer, Liverpool is going out and adding a huge German star in Florian Wirtz for over 100 million euros. So it's sort of that sort of dynamic where you really just wish the Red Sox would conduct themselves like the big team that they are.
Do you think that they can still contend in the AL East after this move?
It's one of those things where I think they can. Do I think they will? I just don't know. I mean, they've been getting really good pitching lately. So it's one of those things where good pitching sort of covers a lot of things. So if they get good pitching, I think they can go pretty far. I think Brian Bayo went like 7 innings in that outing against the Yankees. Garrett Crochet has been really good. Lucas Giolito just had a good start out west. So if they get that, they can contend. I just don't think overall as a team they're as good as the Yankees. And obviously Rafael Devers, specifically against the Yankees, always seem to play very well. So you lose a guy who used to help you in that department. So they have the young prospects that they've called up, Roman Anthony, Christian Campbell, Marcelo Meyer. So I think it's one of those things where just be in the hunt maybe in September, and then maybe you let these young guys develop and you're in a better position to contend for a playoff spot maybe next year.
Yeah, believe me, I will tell you, I mean, I'm a big Yankee fan, as you know, and not having Devers, oh yeah. I mean, Garrett Cole,
I'm sure you're
Devers crushes Garrett Cole, and I know Cole's out for the year, but man, he is a Yankee killer, and I actually like Rafael Devers. I like Mookie Betts too. I mean, there's this romanticism and charm about some of your rivals. You know, I'm sure for you growing up, maybe, I know you're a little younger, but Jeter, right? People are like, oh, I really respect Jeter. You know, for me, like watching Big Poppy and from afar, those rivalries, they matter. Did it hurt you more for Betts or for Devers?
For Mookie Betts, because I think Devers is good, but like Mookie Betts is like in that upper echelon of players. And it was like shortly after that World Series title. So I think I think that one certainly hurt a lot. But when you say that you enjoy seeing Devers leave the Red Sox, I think that's a good gauge of of how good a trade is how do your rivals feel about this trade? And if your rivals are celebrating a move like this.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I think it says a lot about the caliber of move that your team made.
Jonathan Costa, Channel 2 on the Wester Hotline with us. All right, you covered some of Bill's OTAs and minicamp. I'll ask you a question like this. Give me one player on offense and one player on defense that you kind of like took note of, I guess, for whatever reason that might be in your own way, other than Josh Allen, one player on offense and one player on defense.
One player on offense, and I say this because literally I saw him and I noticed the physical difference, was Keon Coleman. Like, he physically looked bigger, like more so to any extent than any other player on the offense. And sort of his introspectiveness when he talked to us during the offseason sort of showed a lot of maturity, I think, especially out of a guy who's still incredibly young, only going into his second year. And I think at certain points, you know, the Bills have made some additions at wide receiver. They go out and sign Josh Palmer. They bring in Elijah Moore. So there's all that excitement about those guys. But I really do think Keon Coleman is sort of positioned to sort of be that number two guy in terms of targets after Khalil Shakir. We've seen what Khalil Shakir can do. We know the role he has on that offense. But I think with the improvements to his body, and I think just the comfort level in year two with the team and everything, I really do think Keon Coleman is primed for a maybe second year breakout. But the thing is, he was playing very well his first year leading to that injury. So is it something where does a year two breakout just consist of him putting a full year together the way he was doing his rookie year leading up to that injury? I think that's certainly possible, and I think that would be a welcome development for the team. On defense, I'm not going to say one player. I'm going to say just overall the rookie D linemen, they also stand out in terms of just sheer size, which is clearly something that the team was going for. And I think Landon Jackson has a potential to really be someone who contributes as a rookie this season. You look at the state of the pass rushers and, you know, Joey Bosa missing time in the offseason through injury. How ready is he going to be in training camp? You obviously have the situation with Michael Hoyt where he's going to be missing the first six games through suspension. So you know you have your vets in Greg Rousseau and A.J. Epenesa. Who's really going to step up and contribute behind them? Is Javon Solomon going to step up in his second year? I think the traits that Landon Jackson has, and they talked about his maturity and his knowledge. He was a productive pass rusher his last 2 years at Arkansas. I think he's in a really good spot to potentially be a guy who significantly contributes as a rookie this season.
Jonathan Acosta, Channel 2 here on the Wester Hotline. Bills wrapping up minicamp, OTAs, Josh Allen, of course, coming off the MVP performance. When people ask you about the Bills and what kind of where their window is right now, do you get the same answer I do, which is, hey, as long as you have 17, the window's there? Or do you look at them in a little bit different light because they have now had some changeover, some guys that have kind of left the building and what things that they've had to do on the roster?
Well, I think those guys leaving the building and the Bills still being in contention actually speaks to the fact of, hey, as long as they have Josh Allen playing at a Josh Allen level of play, their window is open. I think that's true for any team in the NFL that has one of these quarterbacks in the upper tier, whether you're the Bengals with Joe Burrow, the Ravens with Lamar Jackson, obviously the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes. When you have that sort of level of quarterback, you're always going to be in contention. And I think it holds true even to, we look at the previous era of stars when the Saints had Drew Brees and the Broncos and Colts had Peyton Manning and the Patriots had Tom Brady and the Bucks had Tom Brady. Those teams were always in contention as long as they had that quarterback and that quarterback was healthy. And I think Josh Allen, especially coming off this MVP season, is fully in terms of being in that tier. So, yes, there could be a changeover on the defense. You can have different coordinators. You can bring in different offensive weapons. But the quarterback has such an outsized impact in football that if you have that guy, you can move the pieces around it and still be in contention.
I like when I have people like you on because you follow a sport that I'm not super into, but I love the pageantry, and that's soccer. I know you're a big soccer fan. I enjoy the World Cup. I enjoy the Olympics. I couldn't tell you a lot of differences between a lot of the teams. It's not a sport I follow a lot. But when the United States is playing, I kind of pay attention because it's the United States and it's cool. And we're in the World Cup and, you know, Italy's in there and it's really good stuff. So I'll ask you this way. Give me on a basic level. Should I be very worried about where the U.S. men's soccer team program currently still is, or is there hope?
I think there is cause for concern, unfortunately. Like, if you were to ask me to predict right now, how is the U.S. men's national team going to do the 2026 World Cup? I would say maybe they get out of the group stage and probably lose the first knockout stage game if they even get out of the group stage. There's just the run of form they've been in recently hasn't been good. And I was excited when they hired this manager, Mauricio Pochettino. He's someone I always like him when they hire international managers. I think they bring a different perspective. He's someone who had success at Tottenham, a club that until this season had never really experienced sort of success that he had brought them, at least in several decades. But it just seems the team, for whatever reason, hasn't played very cohesively in the games that they have had the A team. And you have sort of a weird dynamic right now where the best player on the team, Christian Pulisic, is sort of publicly fighting with the manager over – there was a situation where, like, he didn't want to play – he would play the friendlies but didn't want to play the Gold Cup because he wants to rest. But here you have the stars for every other country coming to play for their national team over the summer and not being as much of a concern. And for the U.S., this summer is incredibly important because the U.S. doesn't have to do World Cup qualifying because as a World Cup host, they're already automatically in the World Cup. So you have even fewer important games that matter compared to other countries that do have to go through World Cup qualifying. So every moment that you do get a chance to have all of your stars together and compete is incredibly important. And that's not something that's happening, for example, this summer because Pulisic is not playing with the U.S. men's national team. So I know they went out and won their first game at the Gold Cup. That's fine. That's not necessarily the caliber of teams that they're going to be playing in a World Cup setting, though. And like I said, I think their last friendly leading up to the Gold Cup, they played Turkey, and it was an abysmal performance. I want to say it was something like 4-0. And the U.S. really should not be in a position where they're losing to a team like Turkey 4-0. You know, if they want to draw 2-2, that's fine. But really, in terms of the build-up to the World Cup 1 year out, that should be the sort of team that the U.S. picks up a win against here at home in the United States and is really building momentum towards 2026. And that's just not something that's happening right now.
Good stuff, buddy. Thanks a lot for joining me today. Tell everybody what you got going on over at Channel 2 and NBC here as we get past the Bills mini camp portion and into training camp.
Yeah, so we'll have some more stories from the Bills. We did a bunch of sit-downs over the offseason to kind of help bridge this gap between now and training camp. Definitely be on the lookout for – I did this cool story with Reed Ferguson. He's one of the investors in the Buffalo Pro Soccer team, actually. So I sat down and talked with him about what led him to joining this ownership group, what it's like being a professional athlete in Buffalo and now sort of being on the other side of this as a part owner, and just sort of his journey through soccer to lead to this point, because he's also an investor in Swansea City out in the United Kingdom and is a big time soccer fan as of maybe like 10 years ago, and sort of how he got into the sport and what led him to this point of being an investor in the Buffalo Pro Soccer team.
Awesome stuff, man. Thank you so much. And tell everybody where they can follow you and all your work.
Yeah. So you can find me on Twitter @_JAcosta. And then on Channel 2, if you tune in, watch in, you can find John Scott and myself every day.
Love it. All right, buddy. I'll talk to you soon. I'm sure we'll see each other in the Bills media room at some point soon.
Awesome. Appreciate it, Sal. Have a good one.
All right. You got it. Jonathan Acosta. Real good stuff there. I love it. Soccer. I like that. I don't pay too much attention to it other than when like the big matches are on. I know some of the names, but a lot of you are way more into it than me. Just not a sport that's ever I've really gravitated to, but I love the pageantry. So not downing it whatsoever. And I'm always interested in like where U.S. soccer is. So got to get Nick Mendola on soon to talk about that a little bit more. Good stuff from John on the Bills and, of course, hockey down in Florida where he went to the University of Florida. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll have a quick segment, and then it's Bulldog. Chris Bulldog Parker joins me at 11 a.m. at the top of the hour on WGR.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.